I appreciate the kind of atmosphere that I feel under the tent. An evangelist always does. And I appreciate the kind of atmosphere I feel here on the platform. It breaks me up. It just breaks me up, you know, like you're melting my candle. And that gives God a chance to move, gives God a chance to do something. And when it's like that, it's just so sweet. It's so sweet. Taste and see if the Lord is sweet. It's so sweet, especially on the last night of the camp meeting. Now, in the book of St. John, in the first chapter, the first verse, it says, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word is God. The Word is God. Now, like I tell my wife sometimes, I say, I like to preach on the Word. She said, "Well, I thought you always preached on the Word." I said, "Well, I do." But to take a direct approach in coming to talk about the Word, it's marvelous. It's wonderful. I think one of the greatest detriments of the church world today is that they do not know the Word. Whereas someone would say, "Well, Brother Pike, I know some scholars that know the Word." I do too. I have a friend of mine that used to be the sparring partner of Jack Dempsey. You've heard him. He comes in here, Curly. He's a great guy. He knew all the professionals back then of the fighting and whatever. And he is a Bible scholar, so great and so outstanding that he can just pull chapters of the Bible. But still, do we really know the Word? Do we really know the Word? Somebody said, "Well, I can quote the first chapter, second chapter, third chapter of St. John, whatever." I know that. But do we really know the Word? Someone would say, "Well, isn't that knowing the Word, Brother Pike?" No, that's not knowing the Word. That's knowing about the Word. But to know the Word, have you ever met the Word? Do you know who the Word is? Have you ever been acquainted with Him? You know, it's kind of like in the days of Moses, they knew all about Moses. All about Moses. They could tell you all about Moses and what he done here and there, but they really didn't know Moses. Someone would say, "Now, what do you mean by that? You know that those people followed him all the way from Egypt, and you know they had to know Moses." Well, why did they not know Jesus? He was the prophet like unto Moses. He grew up with them. He was in Nazareth with them. He was down in Egypt. He grew up there as a boy, and they never did know Jesus. They never did know him. See, could somebody actually dwell in the midst of people and they not know him? Sure. There's people that have grown up with different people in the family. Grown up in the family. And they growed up in the neighborhood. But the people didn't know him. One day, all of a sudden, there he showed himself and he was a murderer. He was one that would rip your throat like Jack the Ripper. He was one that was a devil incarnate. And then all of a sudden it came out. Now, by the same token, there are people that love God. They can be in your community. They can grow up with you. They can fellowship you and all these things. And you never know them. Never know them. And yet, God is in your midst. God is in your midst. And one of these days, they just step out of the shadows like some of the great men of God that's been in the past. As it was said when Jesus came, they said, "A mighty prophet has risen up in our midst." And as I said last night, a lot of folks said, "Well, there's no such thing in our day." Well, I believe in my heart that you're so wrong. And I believe that scripturally I can prove that. Because if I say I believe in a fivefold ministry, you say you believe in a fivefold ministry. And I've talked to many ministers around the nation, and they believe in a fivefold ministry. But then when I really talk with them and get acquainted with them, all they believe is in a threefold ministry. And I marvel sometimes and I wonder why they get up and preach a fivefold ministry when actually all they believe in is a threefold ministry. But the Bible speaks of the fivefold ministry. Not only that, but it just doesn't classify it as a fivefold ministry because there's more than a fivefold ministry. It's classified as to seven-dimensional steps. And though there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, there are still two others, and that is helps and governments. And this brings in the women folk. It brings in quite a few people, the deacons and whatever. Many helps, the musicians. And when it comes to the rainbow, as to the covenant, the spectrum, of which I would love to say a lot about. But when it comes to that, then there are really seven colors there, but five that's outstanding. But the other two just kind of recede into the background, but they're there. They're there in the spectrum. See, and that means that there is something that we don't understand a lot of times. And we give it our classification, and the Lord doesn't say anything. It's just like we call certain things. Physicians will discover as would be a new serum or a new disease or whatever, and they give it a name and whatever. And then we say, well, how can they do that? You know, how can they decide as to what is to be the vocabulary expression? Because I say ain't, and they say ain't in the dictionary, and of course it is now. But when I was a boy, you know, that was a horrible thing to say, ain't. The teacher would tell you in a minute that you don't use no such words. But today it's common we use the word ain't. And see, and then I always kind of had it in my mind, I would say, well, what's Webster got to do with it? Who is he to tell me what is and what ain't? You know? And you wonder about things like that. And then I said, well, Lord, I don't understand how it is that these people can just say something, whatever it is. And here we think we've learned all about the language, the English language, and we got our words. And two or three days from now or two or three years from now, they didn't come up with another bunch of words and educated the new kids in college and school with a new vocabulary to where we sound strange. See, but the Lord reminded me that he told Adam, said, whatever you call it, that's what it'll be, Adam. You name it and whatever you call it. So we're still in the same place today. You know, whatever they name it, that's what it is. Well, anyway, that sounds like we strayed quite a bit off the theme of our thought, the major theme that is, but we haven't. So then I asked a question, getting back to our thought here. Why didn't they know Jesus? Why did they not know Jesus? They didn't know Moses. Why is it that you say they did not know Moses? Because they did not know Moses was God. Did they know that Moses was God? Did you ever know that Moses was God? Did it ever strike you that Moses was God? Somebody would say, well, now that ain't Bible. Well, that means you don't understand the word. You haven't read the scripture. See, because it emphatically states that God made Moses God unto Aaron. He was God unto the people. And evidently he was, because who is he, including Einstein in our greats of today, who is he that's ever been able to look back into time and go back and tell about the Garden of Eden and tell about all these things as to Genesis, which means in the beginning? Who is he that's ever been able to do that? No one that ever lived on the face of the earth. And I say today in your schooling, you can only go back as far as the hieroglyphics and the things as to where they get civilization in Egypt. But when you go beyond that, check your books. They have to revert back to the Bible because they can't get any farther. But when Moses came along, God said, Moses, I'll let you see it. And so then he said, Lord, let me see your glory. And he said, Moses, no man can see my face and live, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, and then I'll let my glory pass by you, and I'll let you see my hind parts. And sure enough, he did that. And then I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, first of all, I said, Lord, I'm lost in it. I said, you just get so far over my head. I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean the hind parts? And I try to figure it out, and I can't figure it out, and I just get disgusted. And finally the Lord will say, well, let me show you what it is, son. So as this thing, many thousands of things, like Paul is to the revelation of the mystery of Christ. Great is the mystery of God, godliness. And he said, and I am a steward of the mysteries. So then the great mighty scholar didn't even have enough understanding to know that he was persecuting Jesus Christ until he got the revelation. But anyway, I had the Lord to tell me when I asked him about the hind part. I said, well, what does he mean, the hind part? What are you talking about? And the Lord said, from Calvary back to Genesis, that's my hind part. That's the part within the veil. Everything of Moses reaches up to Calvary. And there the veil is rent, the veil is unveiled. And as to this veil over Moses' face, said, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look, as Paul said. They could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Well, that is to say, if there's a veil over Moses' face, and he'd been in the presence of the Shekinah, they knew there was a light there, and they could see the light, but they couldn't see beyond that veil as to see the end of that thing, to know what it was all about. And the Bible does say that the things of God have an end. See, and so then, in looking at the veil, they were afraid just to approach God as just the light, because they knew that they were taught that no man could see God and live. So in this, he had to stay behind the veil. Not only that, but Moses going into the presence of God, it was so great and it was so mighty that Moses' face shone with the Shekinah glory of God. And with this, he had to put a veil even over his face because they couldn't even look at his face unless it was a veil. All of that being typical as to the revelation of the Son of God, that meant one day the prophet, like unto Moses, would come. Jesus, the prophet. And he would be a human veil, and God, as to the Shekinah light, would be on the inside of this human veil in his fullness. In his fullness. And God hiding behind this veil, where the Bible said he veils himself in darkness, and being behind this veil of this intellectual human reasoning, as we would say today, it's very evident that the life that God gave to Adam and Eve fell into this veil of human reasoning as through Adam and Eve. And today, if we get anything, then that means that we've got to get beyond that veil. We've got to penetrate that veil. And this body is a veil. And when we are born of Christ, Christ is inside of the veil. And he's caught within the radius and confines of our human intellect and our human reasoning. And it's like the day that we're living in. This is the day of splitting the atom. We're splitting the atom. Today, we're splitting the atom because this is the day of light. This is the day of power. The potentiality of the power. Sometimes we say this, first power, second power, and third power, they're taught in school. See, and we understand these powers. And I would say, look, this is a block of ice. This is power, potential power. And it is a block of ice. And then I would say, let's run this to the second power. This is the first power. And we run it to the second power and we melt it down and it's a liquid. I'd say, now this is the second power. But it's still potential power. There is a potentiality. And this is the great potential as to a power. But I say, now let's run it to the third power. So we put some fire under it, and we heat it up, and after a while it turns into a vapor, into steam. And once we turn it into a vapor, now we've got the third power. That means we've got release power. We've got it in a gaseous form. And you put that steam in its right place on a locomotive, and it'll spin them big wheels. Or you put it in a certain place, and it'll pop the cap off or whatever, because that is the third power. See, and that's the way it is with the church. We say the third pull. We say this third move of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost move, and this last move is a Holy Ghost move. That's why it is the youth move. That is why the youth will come into it. You take a person that's an elder that don't understand these kind of things, they are a power. They are a potential power. But see, it's got to be run on down. That is to say, a father is a potentiality of power. So was God the great spirit, hid within the veil, but the great potential because everything emanated from God. And see, that as to a father, he carries this life within him. And it's within his loins, as the Bible said concerning Abraham when he met over in the valley there, when he met Melchizedek. See, in the valley of Shavi after the battle of the kings. See, and there it was the potentiality, the father of the faithful. As it would be God, there was the great potentiality, God. And it was such a great outstanding thing that Levi, as to the tribes of Levi, the Bible said that they paid tithe while yet in the loins of their father. See, the great potentiality is to foreknowledge, and God allowed this to be. So a father, he's a potentiality of power. But in the second power, he's got to bring it to the mother. And it's got to be brought as a seedling of life through a stimulation as to the vagina. And then we're moving into a second power. And it's nourished. Through the placenta, it's nourished. That not a drop of the mother's blood should be within her child. So that God can bring it someday to that third power. He's got to bring it to the third power. And the reproduction is to the opening of the matric, as we say, beast of the libius, as to a person. See, with the coming forth of this, Then we move into the third power. And we see that little one that's born, he'll jump and he'll turn a somersault. And we know we've got the third power of it there now. But that third power comes in, it comes in by a divisional thing as to part. And we know in part. See, so that indicates that the final analysis of this thing has to go to the children. It's got to come to the children, and where it speaks of it over there, where these little children were praising the Lord Jesus Christ, these elders, they were frozen out here. They were all upset and obsessed with their own way of life as to human prestige and feeling like they were superior to the rest of the world. And when these little ones started making a fuss over Jesus, when these others were criticizing, they wanted them to be quiet. Jesus said, have you never read in the scriptures that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God hath perfected praise? See, suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not, for of the, such are they that's of the kingdom of God. He said, I say unto you, let me have that little baby. Set him on my knee, as we would say. And he would look at him and he'd say, lest you become as this little child that is to be born again. Then you won't even see the kingdom of God. And he said, and I say unto you that their angel doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven, which means the spirit within that little body, that this little body is still innocent. This little body within this encasement is still innocent. It's not charged because they've never yet come to the knowledge of right and wrong. And where there's no knowledge of sin, it's not charged to them. So their little spirit is still dwelling in heaven. If it departs this little body, it doesn't have to go to heaven. It's already in heaven. Worse, someone would say, well, Brother Pine, you know that can't be. But look at the innocency of Jesus, and this will prove it. He was talking to Nicodemus, a great leader, and he said, you being a leader of Israel, and you don't know these things. He came to Jesus by night, and he said, if I told you of earthly things and you don't believe and understand, how are you going to understand heavenly things? And then he said in Nicodemus, I'll tell you this, no man has ever ascended up into heaven. The door hadn't been opened. Nobody had made that door. He said, except the Son of Man as to the foreknowledge of God who is in heaven. And you can imagine how Nicodemus felt. Here he was looking at a man, and the man said, I came down from heaven. I've ascended into heaven. That is through the foreknowledge of God. It's all a finished product. And I'm standing with you, and here I stand with you, and I'm in heaven. And Nicodemus, of course, was standing there looking at him. So tonight I would say to you, I'd say, are you born again? And you would say, sure. I'd say, well, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now you are in heaven. Ye are they that dwell in heaven. I'd say, beloved, you're sitting together in heavenly places. And someone would say, potentially speaking, someone would think, this is great. Potentially we're in heaven. There's no potentiality about it. There's no potentiality. This has gone to the third power. It's only potential from the standpoint of human observation, whereas it does not yet appear that ye are sons of God. But already, beloved, are ye the sons of God, because we go beyond the veil and we go into the spirit world. See, and when we get into the spirit world, we're in a different world. Someone would say, well, if I ever get into the spirit world, I'll know I'm in a different world. Listen, children of God, if you've been born again, you're in the spirit world. Someone would say, well, look, Brother Pike, let's be realistic. Here I am with my fingers and my eyes, and I can feel you, and you can feel me, and I can see you, and you can see me. And you tell me this is a spirit world? Well, yes and no. It'd take a lot of time to explain that. But I can say this one thing that might help you. See, that body has not yet been changed, though it has been redeemed, and it is the purchased possession, and that at Calvary. But the thing is, it has not yet been changed as to this indwelling heavenly treasure that's already within your earthen vessels by Calvary and was given to you in the foreknowledge of God, brought to light at the rent veil at Calvary, and then preached down through the church ages so that you might comprehend this wonderful light, which means light as to understanding, this glorious light, the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of it. So anyway, what I'm saying is that inwardly, you're already translated into the kingdom of God. God is the Spirit. Christ was the kingdom of God. Everything in heaven and earth was in Christ. The fullness of God was in Christ. And Christ was the kingdom of God. And he said, I'm the light of the world. And he said, I've come as the light of the world. I go away, but now you're the light of the world. How could that be? The old lamp lighter used to go along. He would light the lamps. He would light the little candles. We come together, we say, candle power, 1 and 2 and 10. And look at the brightness of his light. 1 put 1,000 to flight, 2 put 10,000 to flight. See, or that is to say, the old lamp lighter would light, as we wrote the song, light the stars every night. So, then when we think about this, we realize that there's something that we're not seeing. There's something that Einstein did not see. And this is where the age of the splitting of the atom comes in. The splitting of the atom. You know, we'd have to dwell on one thing, go farther and farther to really clear it up in your mind, but we don't have time to do that. So then we go to the splitting of the atom, and we say, the atom age, the fullness of this thing, where is the fullness of it? Then we say, in the foreknowledge of God. But it was a potentiality to the extent it had to go through the process of time, come down to Calvary, the rent veil, and whatever. So we say, well, where does the splitting of an atom come in? Jesus told them, he said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. In the Bible, so they understood not that he spake of his body. They were carnal-minded, natural-minded, through observation of eyes. They looked and they said, well, it took us many years to build this temple. And you say that you can raise it in 3 days? And they thought the man was slapped out of his mind, that he was an eccentric thing. See, but Jesus was speaking of the splitting of the atom. And the Bible said when Jesus come, he made in himself twain, which means two, both Lord and Christ. And that when they took him, and they took him to Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet, turn and rend you. Or that is to say, when they rent him, they pop the thorns into his head, the nails into his hand, the feet, all these kind of things they did to him. They just rent him from top to bottom as to the temple. And with this, then pulled away the Christ from the Lord. Both Lord and Christ. As we would say in the old country, we would say, Lord Baltimore, this man is the Lord of his house. And even as it was said of Abraham, saying of Sarah, whose daughters ye are, if ye do well, Sarah thus calling her husband Lord. See, and the Lord of the house. So when we think about this, there it was rent in twain. The body was taken away from the spirit, not in the behalf of God, as to God, because God, Jesus, was already a heavenly being as to the Christ, and he come down and put on this body to veil himself in the intellectual form of this darkness called your human being, made into the serpent, like unto the serpent, in the sense that the Bible said you are a generation of vipers, you're on your belly, all of your labors for your belly and for your mouth because it craves it of you, and that it started with the tree, we say, of the fruit. Now, when we think about this veil being rent in twain, he did that for you and I. Why? Because he wanted to rend the veil in twain. On the inside of you is the life of God. And by the new birth, you are now son of God. And with that, he had to rend the veil in two. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? For to will is present as to my inner man, as to my desire. But how to perform that which is good as to my outer man? He said, I can't find. And when I would do good, I find a law that evil is present with me. And the evil that I would not do, that I do. And the good that I would do, that I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. He said it was a confusing situation until he got the revelation of the rent veil. Or that is to say, in seeing this, he finally said, I do that which I would not do. And then he turned and he said, but if I do that which I would not do, then it couldn't be me doing it. It is not me doing it. And he said, it is sin that dwelleth in me. I have discovered that within my body there dwelleth no good thing within the flesh. That we are spiritual people. We are for a spiritual world. And all of this world is vanity and have to pass away. And it's nothing but beast. And it's from the first man, Adam. And it's causing all the problems as to this lust, reproduction through desire of male to female and all these kind of things. You know, and God has allowed it for the reproduction as to multiply and replenish the earth. And like beast, he's put it out of his presence, except through Christ, as to the new birth of the inner man. Whereas the apostles left their wives and whatsoever and went with Christ Jesus, understanding these wonderful, glorious things. Very pure and holy, to be holy in their body as well as the spirit. As it says to the unmarried woman, said, you'll be better off if you abide as I. For they that don't have a husband, they are looking to Christ. and said they want to be holy in body and spirit. But if it be a wife, if you marry, you've not done any wrong. It's all in the plan of God. He said, but the woman seeketh how that she might please her husband. But the unmarried, you know, I'm speaking of the married woman now, the unmarried seeks how that they might please God. And so it is with a man. As to the theme, I would not have you concerned about the things of the world, having the responsibility of marriage and whatever. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, are you preaching that a person shouldn't get married? Of course not. The Bible said he that gets a wife gets a good thing. But I'm telling you, there is a vast world of difference as to giving yourself wholly to one thing or another. It is very, very good for you to marry and multiply, because all men can't receive this sin as to being a eunuch or a woman as to living her life and keeping her virtues in this way. All right, let's look at it a little further. So then when the veil was rent in twain, it was for my good, your good, because we are born as to this life that God has given through the breath of life. In captivity it is to the bloodstream, the blood cell. It is called the red dragon because it is the red dragon life of the blood. And that's why that the world as to human physics, or those of the physician and whatever as working in the hospitals and whatever, that has to do with the red dragon. And that's why that the human being is to the body, the image being lost from God, is called the serpent, and on his belly and all of his labor for his belly. And that's why the curse is there, that he placed that thing on the belly. And when you read about the allegorics of Adam and Eve being an allegoric type, because we can't see in the spirit with these natural eyes, so he gives us a type of it and educates us according to a parabolic approach. See, and then when we think of this as the serpent being put out on his belly and the curse coming, we think of a snake, which was a beast, and God changed him and put him on his belly to where he couldn't walk anymore. He had to eat the dust. But that was still only a symbol. That was only a type. Because when he really brings it out, he brings it of that mind of deception, even Lucifer, that fallen angel that reflects the light of God that came down into the beast and through the beast subdued Adam and Eve down to the beast level as to the dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt be returned. That is, I made you out of the dust. I brought you into the garden. I put you in the presence of God. I illuminated you with the Shekinah. Now, Adam, you reflected the Shekinah. You had the right to make your choice, and you didn't make it. And here stands Adam over here as that which is not in the transgression, being called the Son of God, because he is in the illumination of the great, wonderful Christ, who is the day star image in which man was made. And out of the Shekinah image come Adam, because all things come from the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was in the beginning with God. It was God. All things emanates from the Spirit and takes on form as to the nature of His desire. And thus it is as to the forms of matter becoming whatever He hath desired it to be. Now, we are members of the body, therefore, whatever He does, that's what we can do. Whatever He is, that's what we are. God has made us to be whatever Christ is. He made Christ to be what He wanted us to be. See, there's so many hundreds of thousands of things that we would go into just to detail, just a few things to get over a few thoughts as to the revelation of the Son of God. And that's why I'm just taking my time, so I won't get very far. I just get a few little things in. So then we know that all those things were symbolic, and we know that Adam wasn't in the transgression. But when the woman went back to him and he yielded to her, it was to the serpent's mind. And then after that, the allegoric type come to what it was supposed to show. And that is that human beings, neither male nor female, because it was Mrs. Adam, she was flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. It just showed the rent veil. And it just showed that thing at Calvary where Jesus went to sleep, and out of there comes the church, Adam going to sleep. Spiritually speaking, I would that you were spiritual. I like to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, because God is a spirit. We worship Him in spirit. And this wonderful thing is of God as to the spirit. That's why I tell you to come out from among them. Be a separate people. Be a spiritual people. Touch not the unclean things. There's no good thing within the flesh. All of that's of the world. It'll pass away. But he that doeth the will of God, becoming spiritual, the spirits don't die. You're equal to the angels. You dwell, you live forever. Now, so then, just to get over a little bit of thought tonight. See, we realize that Adam then was the female. And we realize that the Shekinah light of that image, which was Christ in the beginning, in whose image we're made, that image that we emanated from as to the
part of us that's human physics, emanating from the Spirit, from the great light of the masterful understanding of Almighty God, because it's what light means. See, and ignorance as to the educational system means darkness. So then in this we see that here come that human body from that light, and God has created it. And God lets that human body reflect that light. And as Mary was overshadowed or illuminated with that great light, so was Adam illuminated with that great light, which means the understanding as to the choice of whatever tree. See, to make him a sovereign, you know, we could say about this. But anyway, with that, then here comes the woman from the male. And so the body is the female. So we know then that the body comes from the Spirit, and the body is the female, and the intersect is with the Spirit going into the human body. And out of that, a conception, a divine conception of heart, and then the ministry travailing in patience to try to bring forth the Christ within you. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. So you're the female, and the female of today is only a symbolic thing. And it brings forth a child as a symbolic thing. But in all reality, it's a heavenly world, it's a spiritual world, it's an angelic world, it's an eternal world. And we are trying to get beyond the shadows. And the great light is shining, and it's hitting, striking the image, and earth is but a shadow of that great image. And all that's in this world is vanity and vexation of the spirit, lust of the flesh, pride of life. All of that's going to pass away. And I'm trying to get you out of the shadows. I'm trying to get you out of the shadows. And I say, it's God that works through the ministry. Not the minister speaking, but God speaking from heaven within the Spirit, using my old rusty vocal organs, as we would say. Or maybe I preach so much through my years, you know, I don't sound like a songbird or an orator when I go to say something, because I've used my throat and my voice so much down through the years. See, and God is speaking. God is speaking. They shall all be taught of God. And then God within his temple, let everyone reverence. Let everyone be quiet. Let everyone be still. For God is within his temple. Let all the world come and kneel before you and know that I've loved you. For God shall suddenly return to his temple. And that because of Pentecost or because of Calvary, that is to say a prophetical utterance before Calvary ever came to pass. All right. So we see those things, and I would have to elaborate for hours just on those few things as to their perspective concerning this of Adam and Eve, which we can't do, because if I do, I can't bring out the other things. But the Lord will all put it, he'll put it all together. When it comes to the splitting of the atom, when it comes to the third power, we're moving into that now. We're moving into that now. It took the little children as to the new birth to get over Canaan. And them that come out of Egypt, they couldn't make it. In their minds, they just thought about that. That was over on the other side of the Jordan, where 2.5 tribes took their inheritance. And though they come over the Jordan to the extent that people come and they join themselves with us, the children of the living God, whether it be through a denominational thing, they're just reflectors. No matter what the denominational thing is, or the charismatic thing, and they're reflecting God because the blood is on the seat of atonement, and they shout on the tare and joy in it as much as the wheat, and the rain comes on the just and the unjust, and even your sons and daughters prophesy. Doesn't mean a thing. Saul prophesied he did not have God. He had murder in his heart. See, Balaam could see visions, look out there and see a vision with his eyes open. Didn't mean a thing. People have gifts. They pervert those gifts. There's women sitting by the way, give me $10 and I'll tell you about your past and whatever. Somebody said, well, it's a fraud. It's not real. You just don't understand. That is a gift. Those gifts, they're born with that gift. And like Balaam, they pervert the gift. They try to sell it for money. And God rebuked Balaam over and over. Otherwise, he would have sold his for money to Balaam. And the Bible said, the history says, as to concerning him, finally he was killed as a soothsayer. See, because of what he did. All right, so then we're back to point A. And that is, this is the atomic age. This is the age of splitting the atom. How can he split the atom? It was Mrs. Adam from Mr. Adam. Or that is, Adam was, as the Bible said, the Son of God. And he was the image of the Son of God as long as he abode within the illumination, to show him that was to come, a figure, Paul said, of him that was to come. Or that is again to say, Though the body was lost off from this reflection, yet the Christ, who was the true male, was not lost off, only the female part as to the body. And then when Christ came as to the illumination, the day star, he came not as to an illumination to us this time, but he came within our heart. And within our heart, there is dawning the day star as the spiritual inner man, which is the male, as to the body being the female. And the Bible says, and your sons shall marry the church. For the church is the body. That's the female part. That is the one of the incarnation that brings forth the bodily image from that which comes through Christ, which is Christ within you, the second man, the Lord from heaven. So it's obvious that we are now the sons of God. And as the child forms within the womb, we're waiting for the full development. And from glory to glory is to perfect the mind of Christ within us. I say one mind, many members. See, we're trying to get this mind in all the members that we might eradicate the mind of the beast and get it out of the members. And it will leave the members through the bright light of the eradication to get that thing out of the temple of God that shows itself to be God, even Lucifer. See, and when we do this, that means everyone that will not listen to us, everyone that will not receive this mind of Christ, everyone that will not transformate in their mind to that diplomacy of this heavenly change, that this glory that's within you is to heavenly treasure to be made manifest in your mortal genes. If you don't go that route, then it means you are a beast. You're not a God. You're not a son of God. You're not a daughter of God. You are a mere beast. That's all you are. And you'll stay with the educational system. You'll stay with the money. You'll stay with the businesses. Your inheritance is on the other side of Jordan. And you just come over here to be religious, to reflect this wonderful love of God as through the mercy of God while the blood is on the seat of atonement. Because God, from the foundation of the world, in his foreknowledge by Christ, had to put this blood on the seat of atonement when he wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Given to us in Christ before the world ever was, our names were written down there. And then it was brought down to Calvary, the rent veil, to show the light, to reveal it to us, given to us in Calvary, and then preached to us as a transformating of the inner man toward the diplomacy of this body, which is already a purchased possession at Calvary, paid for, that it might come to view in that we're sons of God. It doth not yet appear as to the bodily being, as to what we are or going to be. But after a while, this glory is through the transformation of the mind is going to be made manifest with our human body. And as it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, this glory will come and we will be changed. We will be changed. Now, in the splitting of the atom, how does this come about? The Bible said he made in himself twain, as to the feminine of the first man Adam, who actually became the human body of reflection for Lucifer. Lucifer, reflecting the great light of God, and then falling, being made the ruler of the darkness, he had to have a body. And this blood was already put on the seat of atonement because God knew the fall would come, and that he had to have something to take care of his people until he could sever the just from the unjust, call them out from among them, and during that time there had to be blood on the seat of atonement. Revelation 12, this is why there's an expulsion. This is the battle in the heavens right now. The Star Wars, to show that this is the time of that third pull and the time of the child. Like when Reagan went in, he said, you know, one candle, I feel like I'm coming in, the world's going out, which indicated that thing as to the birth, and we can't elaborate much on that. Now, so then, where is this Adam? He made in himself twain. He made in himself two Adams, coming in the image of the fallen Adam, you being his offsprings, and the reproduction as to the beast and to the animal because of that mind that was there. People birthing children, just a short type of it. See, and then all of a sudden there was two Adams. There was as the image of the first Adam that had failed and become the body of sin and the body of Lucifer, no good thing within that flesh. And yet that body was the temple. It was the temple of God. Your wife goes through the travail and the curse and the uncleanness, but she is your body. She is your bones. She is your flesh. See, she goes into a twilight sleep. And then after the travail, the little one is born and he's swaddled, and the woman returns to be loved and cared for, because that's your very blood and bone. See, Revelation 12, there's a battle in heaven, and Lucifer is cast out. What does this mean? The blood coming off the seat of atonement. Just as quick as the church is perfected, all of a sudden the child goes up. When he goes up, Lucifer goes out. Because as it is, and I think all of you understand this, as to a birth, that's why God allowed the thing to be likened unto a birth, and we could get more specific with it, but some of you wouldn't understand it. We give place to the beast as to those human thoughts. That makes things look so bad. But there is what you call the placenta. And as I said, the babe is fed through that, through the thing as to the osmosis, so that there will not be anything at all of the mother's blood in that child. Because the blood is where the problem is, and the blood corrupts because the problem is there. See, that means that there couldn't be any mother's blood. So when Jesus came, he did not have any blood in him as from a human father. He was not born of human stimulation or the will of man, that is to say. He was not born of these things of human affection. Mary was illuminated by the great Spirit of God, and it bypassed her human reactions as to the exhilaration of contact as to male and female. And it came in a sacred, holy thing that you feel like when the Spirit of God comes upon you. That's why we as virgins in Christ, we conceive of this wonderful Christ. Others are in there as to an exhilaration, the man being sterile and the woman receives nothing because she doesn't want to travail. He doesn't want a wife to travail. They just want the stimulation of the frolics of the world. See, whoredom and all these kind of things. But a real child of God wants Christ in here. And a real mother wants to bring forth a little one as to the image of him that she loves. And he wants that image, that it joins them together. And it's a wonderful, sacred, holy institution. But the devils have dragged it through the mud. So then when we think of these things, we stop and we think the new birth, the regeneration, as from Adam to Adam. The first man, Adam, by the washing of the waters of the Word, which means the Spirit has made us to come from one generation of Adam to another generation of Adam, as to the regeneration. See, by the washing of the water of the Word. So then we realize that we are a different people. Though we look the same and though we're still abiding within this body as to evangelize the world and for this light to shine as from us, through us, that the physicians and all of the great Einsteins of the world might reflect this wonderful, great understanding. Because when the church goes out as being the light of the world, and that Christ is transferred from the body of Jesus, who is the light of the world, to us as a measure, then we being the light of the world, that means understanding. It means that they don't have any understanding. There is no understanding in the tree of knowledge. It was like some of them said back when they established these great universities at the early part of our life. I've said this to you a number of times before. I say it again tonight. Some of those great men was wise enough that they said, students, people, all that was working together to establish college, let it be known there is no knowledge except God's knowledge. And this is the way they started. Look at the perversion of it today. See, there is no light. If the light is with the tree of knowledge, if it's with education and diplomacies, if that is the light, if that is understanding, Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. If that is so, then why, I ask again, is it that when the church goes out, the people are still here, the Einsteins are still here, all of the people are still going right on as they did before, but they don't have any understanding. And everything goes dark, and they don't have any religious light whatsoever. And the Bible said they don't even have enough understanding to perfect medicine, no physicians to do anything, and they're in darkness so that they gnaw their tongues for pain. And darkness fills the kingdom that the beast hath in the earth, the regime. That is to say, the whole kingdom of the beast is filled with darkness, which means intellectual ignorance, and they can't find anything. They can fight, they can go to war, do all these things, but they can't find any relief. Even death will not come to them to give them relief for almost 6 months. See, they're reflecting your understanding. They are reflecting your understanding. And that's why that they can do what they're doing today. But as quick as the church goes out, the blood comes off the seat of atonement, no understanding whatsoever. They're all ignorant because they're a beast. See, a beast just does what you say. Roll over, give me the paw, whatever. So we know the splitting of the atom is here. Calvary was the ultimatum. That was a fulfillment of the law to bring in the church ages or heaven. We should have to elaborate a long time on that. But when we say Adam, it means the veil rent in twain, or he made in himself twain. both natural Adam and spiritual Adam. And that what happened was that these two Adams, being one, even as Mrs. and Mr. See, these two Adams, as the fallen, as to the female, that was taken into captivity as the human body of the world by this intellectual educational system. See, the Bible said, trying to find honor one of another as to these diplomacies and whatever, said, you're not wise measuring yourself by yourselves. See, for who knows more than what another knows? See, but seeking the honor of men, how can you ever have the honor that comes from God? So then when we start seeking the honor of God, even Paul realized this, and that's why he made that statement. He sought the honor of man and just got himself into a conglomeration of a mess. He laid it all aside and said, I'm determined to know nothing among the people except Christ and Him crucified as to the death, burial, and the resurrection. Now, seeking the honor that comes from God, I seek to know Him in the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable to His death, to know Him in the power of His resurrection. So then we're back to the two Adams. Now, when this was put there, Jesus, God in His fullness, Christ on the inside, and this body being made sin after He had done fulfill the will of the Father, then He stepped off of the mountain where the church was perfected, the illumination between the covering cherubs. Moses and Elijah stepped back down into the valley, went to Calvary, and there He went without the glorious light. He went as a human being to die for you and I, because He'd already come from the mangers to the beast and the world of the beast, picked us up from that and took us through these things as to what He'd done in the self-denial as to the body to make us perfect, and we were perfect in Him now. And the church was now saved as to His own body. See, and then He stepped out of that glory, forsaken by the Father, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He died out of the presence of God as the darkness come and the day star veiled itself, that He might be made your sins and die out of the presence of the Father, that we might be through the resurrected one as to the quickening spirit, we might be made the body of the Lord Jesus in the presence of the Father, filled with the glorious Spirit of God, that we would be eternal and perfected forever, and that we would be justified and sanctified and glorified, this being the foreknowledge of God to be made manifest, to preach down through the church ages by the seven roots of the great tree as to the church age messengers. My, what great mighty understanding there is in that as to the spirit of revelation. So sure enough, there at Calvary, and they split the atom. Split the atom. Fusion or fission, whatever it might be. Split the atom. Both ways they go. See, and here it was split. When it was split, it changed the course of all eternity. When that atom was split, when those two covering cherubs that stood there on the mountain, see, when that veil was opening, when the curtains of the cherubs was open, and some of you know we have to go all the way back to the ark, all the way back to Noah, all the way back to the act of Canaan, and all the way back to that garment that was placed over Noah and showed as those two men walking backwards to bring out the revelation on this, and we got some of it on tape already. So then when the atom was split, the great power of God was so great and so mighty that the world passed away. And Peter, talking with Paul and coming into some of these understandings, said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And sure enough, when it was split, those that had that world as the Jews and the control and the government, all the way here that veil was rent. And it was laid aside. It was folded up. We can't go into particulars or you'd understand real good. And that whole world passed away. 2,000 years, the water world, everything passed away. As to the old earth, here was another 2,000 years. All of a sudden, the rent veil, and it passed away as to the veil part of that. As to the intellectual, it was gone. Even the Jews died out of the presence of God and still haven't come back in. And we'd have to go through all these things that we teach about the 490 years, determine just that much time on earth. And then after that, the rent veil, the dividing asunder as to the 7 years that was put over here at the end of the church ages. Now over here at the end of another 2,000 years, and scientists saying within 7 years it appears that the whole earth is going to come up right, and this world is going to pass away. Anyway, hundreds of thousands of things that have to be said about the revelation. But I'm saying that there was the splitting of the atom, and what happened? This world went this way. Here's 483 that went this way. Seven went this way when it wasn't but 490 years left for the whole world as to the episode of the earth. And it divided asunder. See, and what happened? The church ages came in. which was heaven, and the veil was rent, and there was the open door in heaven. And folks, my, what we'd have to say tonight, just to try to get some of you to understand what we're saying of who you are and where you are and why Jesus spoke of them in heaven. What was the devil doing in heaven in Revelation 12? How did he get up there? Well, anyway, going on, here we'll just say this, that there was the splitting of the atom and the great light that comes out of the splitting of the atom. It's so great and mighty as to that great flash and that great light. For when it was divided asunder the Ark of the Covenant, that great light appeared. It appeared, and the wrath of God is to that consummation of burning fire that will be shown to the Jews through the revelation as to a natural happening, even to the natural stars falling. There that thing burst asunder, and the stars fell from heaven. Revelation 6, look over there in the fifth seal. Look at the souls under the altar. Look at the sixth seal and the heavens roll back. See, look at it. If we had time to go into it tonight to bring it out, it's clear and as bright as the noonday. Somebody said, well, I already see that. Well, that's great. The ones that don't see it, maybe sometimes we can talk to you about it. Now, all right. So then the atom was split. It was split. Why do you say things like that, Brother Pipe? Because sometimes when I'm preaching, minds pop up in different places of people who really feel like that they know and see. And I know when I record it, I know that they don't. I know for sure they don't. But because they don't want to be under the constraint of a leader or somebody, they pop up and, I've got that. I know that. I'm ready to go. And I think, it's so pitiful. You have great potentiality. But that carnal mind flashes up there like that, you know, and you don't have anything. Brother, you can be sure you're just a reflector. While others are studying and they're so attentively listening, you know, listening, because they are children of God and they are absorbing and they're waiting for the great finale as to the revealing of these things. But let me tell you something. You that think you know that might be a minister or whatever, let me say this to you without being offensive. These things that I'm seeing tonight and other things that I've said to you and other things that you've heard, you've not even got started good. There is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of things just in Revelation. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, you don't expect me to believe that you know all of that. How much would you have to know all of that? The Bible said, I have an unction from the Holy One, as I said the other night, to know all things. And it said, what my Father hath made known unto me, Brother Pike, I've made known unto you, or you. So how much would I have to know all things? Let's give the Lord a hand. So then tonight, you children of God, you don't know how great you are. You don't know how mighty you are. And tonight, even though we barely scratch a little place as to the surface of this thing, what does this have to do with us? It has to do with eternal life. When you come to the third power, it's turned into the gaseous form as to human analysis or definement. But the thing is, you are ready to go out of here. Remember that. Somebody said, well, we're working toward it, Brother Pike. We've got to go on to perfection. But I want to remind you again, perfection is of God. Salvation is of God. Righteousness is of God. Understanding is of God. You can't do none of that. There ain't nothing you can do. Somebody said, well, I've been fasting all these years. And I'm in this, Brother Pike, and you just don't know me. Yeah, I know you all right. How can you tell me, somebody says, because I look at anybody and you're the same. All flesh is corrupted its way. No righteousness except of God. But what I can say is God, having perfected you within the spiritual man, sealing you as to the angelic being with the interwoven of the safeguard. Nothing can ever spot you. You can't sin. You know, you backslid before this revival, and I know that you fell away from the other one. But come on back now. You got a chance. You can get born again. Come on, folks. I said, you can get born again. How many times do you get born again? Like when they got to talking about the seventh angel, and a fellow come to me, he said, well, how many seventh angels are there? See, if you know where you're going, and you know where you've been, and you understand what you're doing, then explain to me, how many times do you get born again before you're born again? See, something's wrong. If I'm born one time, I could live a million years, but I'd just be one time as to the natural. I don't get unborn. You can't get unborn. There ain't no way. Somebody says, what do you mean? The Bible said if the leopard can change his spot, the Ethiopian can change his skin, and they that are accustomed to do evil shall do good. Or that is the predestinated, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. The children not yet been born, having done no good or evil, that it might stand according to the election and not works, and that it might be of God. So then what am I saying? See, if you understood, you wouldn't be teaching nothing like that. So, beloved friend, you have been born again. We sing the song, Born Again. See, and you've been born again. That means that you are eternal and forever that belongs to Christ, even his body. And besides that, before you ever came into the world, your names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you was justified, predestinated, and sanctified as to elect according to the foreknowledge. Let's give the Lord a hand. All them that believe was them that was for knowledge as to election. All right. So now we've come to the end of the way as to the church and this third power. And you're going to have things revealed to you, whether I reveal them or the Spirit of God reveals them, or whoever reveals them, it still be Christ. And you're going to suddenly realize who you are. Somebody said to be perfect, to come to be perfect, to make this perfection as to what you are in the Spirit as the Son of God, manifest in your mortal genes by subjection of the body, though you stumble. It's all taken care of. And to make it manifest, that's your perfection going on to perfection, is to perfect your ways before God, to submit before God. And if you fall 7 times, he'll pick you back up because you're already perfect anyway. And even if you stumble, don't condemn yourself. For the Bible said, happy is he that condemneth not himself. And I'll say this in trying to close here. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute sin. Now, if you are the man that God will not impute sin unto, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand? I'm a man that God won't impute sin unto. Are you a man? Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you've got us between the rock and the hard place. Not so. If you know all about these things, couldn't be a hard place for you. If you can't raise your hand, then that means you don't know what you think you know. You think you know something, as the Bible said, you don't know something as you ought to know. If you don't, then you don't need to cause an interruption. See, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and his iniquities are covered. Do we have anybody like that? Understand a little better. And the Bible said, blessed is the man that God imputes to him righteousness without works. You ever heard of that? How many has been saved without their works? How much did you do to get to God? You know, this is where Paul and Peter had a cross up. All of them devout Jews. But when Paul came to Peter and he said to the Galatian people, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus evidently was set forth and crucified? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh? Or that is, he said, Peter, why are you teaching the people this? Why do you withdraw when the brethren come up? You were with the Gentiles till they come, but you get scared, and then you withdraw. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. He said, I'm not going to frustrate it. He said, because if righteousness came by the law, we had the law before Jesus Christ came. We didn't need him to come and be crucified. And he says, Peter, I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. The grace of God is what saved us. And he said to the people, what makes you think that you can be perfected by your works now as to the law when you were saved by grace? No flesh shall be justified by the law. See, he said, didn't you start out in the Spirit, having begun in the Spirit? And the healings and the miracles and all the things that was done to you, even unto salvation, wasn't that in the Spirit? What makes you think now, having begun in the Spirit, that you're going to perfect this thing with works in the end, whether it's fasting or prayer or whatever? Let's give the Lord a hand. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, and blessed is the man unto whom God, blessed is the man unto whom God imputes faith. Faith. Just believing from the heart, faith for righteousness, translated by faith, sanctified by the faith which is within Christ Jesus, salvation by faith, you go to heaven by faith, you're saved by faith. Let's give him another hand.
All right, I've kept you quite a long time tonight, and we could say hundreds of things more, thousands of things more, and that's the truth, so help me God, without the slightest exaggeration. But I thank you for listening and being patient tonight, and it's for your cause. And it made it a lot easier on me because the Spirit was right when I came in here tonight. But we're going to stop at this point, and we're going to ask you to just stand up, if you will. Let's everybody stand up together. This is the last night of the camp meeting, and I took just a little bit long as to kind of to exhort you as to a little teaching on the simple salvation which is in His name. Faith in His name, and to give you a chance to think, because there's a lot of things that's so beautiful in Revelation, and you're going to get it. It's given to you. It's not given to the rest of the world. The disciples said, "Why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing they understand not what you say?" He said simply, "It is not given unto them to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but it is given unto you to know." It's given unto you to know, not unto them, but unto you. And the disciples knew that he was talking one way to them and to the people another way, as per se. And yet he was speaking the same way. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand. So, do we understand tonight? Someone would say, "Well, I don't." Maybe you are a babe in Christ and you should listen a little more and stay with us a little more, and after a while you'll understand. See, or someone would say, "Well, I don't get this. I don't understand this." Well, the Bible said the righteous will understand. I know I've heard people misunderstand some things that Brother William Branham said one time. You don't have to understand, you just have to believe, but they misunderstood that. See, the Bible said the righteous will understand, but the wicked shall not understand. And if you don't understand, that means you either got to be a baby or you are wicked. Because the eyes will be open, the understanding will be open, and you will understand it. For sure, you will understand it. So that's where we're at, children of God. You're beloved and precious in His sight. And don't men go on great long fasts for days, some maybe 70 days. I heard of some great India leader, whoever he was, you know his name. Who? Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi or something like that. 70 days. See, but that didn't spell anything. That don't spell nothing. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou takest no knowledge. They did it, that in the Old Testament. See, the main thing is to know how to fast, why you're fasting, what all this is about, and that it's not something that you're doing to catch attention, to project you or your ministry to be some superstar, you know, so that you can gather thousands of people to follow you. You understand what I'm saying? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. In real simple choruses like "Sweep Over My Soul," let's sing that. We sing it so much. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me now? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the seas no more. Sing that with me. For though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Sing it like this now. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee, every hour, I need Thee, and I need precious Savior. Oh, how I need Thee. Can you sing that with me? So don't turn Him away. So don't turn Him away. For He has come back to your hearts once again. So let Jesus sin to stay. For oh, how you need Him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear His loving voice, and don't turn Him away. While we're singing these courses, the altars are open, and you're welcome to come. Last night, you gathered before the altar, and it was so beautiful. Though you're tired, the weekend has come, and you've been working all week. But last night, you so wonderfully praised God. You reached out and touched the hem of His garment. And last night, it was so beautiful as you worshiped the Lord. It's so wonderful to see you gather as the saints of God. And so wonderful to see you worship the Lord. To see you love the Lord. To come to the Lord, even when I ask the people to come, and numbers of you repeatedly come. I say a lot of times it isn't because of you, but it's because God is trying to reach someone. He prepares your heart because you are a leader, and you have such respect and reverence, and someone seeing you come, then they say, hey, if he's going and she's going, I'm going too. And sure enough, somebody else comes that ordinarily wouldn't have been moved. And tonight, as we gather around the altar again, the last night of a great camp meeting, see, where will we go? What will we do? Where will you be? See, we still have to preach the gospel in all the world for a witness. And then shall the end come. All of us have a job. We have a job to do. We must do it. So then we gather together. On the home front, it takes a lot of doing on the home front. If there's a war fought, then there has to be somebody on the home front to furnish the ammunition, or nobody can do anything out on the frontier. Says to the front line, can't do anything unless there's somebody that's faithful on the home front. And it's that way in any capacity of life. Somebody must help build the launching pad and must give the thrust to be able to get the thing off. Like when the thing goes off as going to the moon, there's three stages of it. And as that capsule goes, it drops one stage, then it drops another stage, and then it hits its target. And folks, we done dropped off one stage. It's done dropped off. I know in the world it hasn't, but it's done dropped off. And that second stage is already dropping off. And when it begins to drop off, see, it begins to drop off. All of a sudden, something is taking place. We broke through those spheres. The spheres we broke through, and the gravitational forces are gone. They're gone, leaving Earth, heading through there, and now to the spheres, in and out into space. We're all right because we know where the target is. We know what to do. and everything's fine, everything's intact. But a lot of people, as they leave this earthly place of understanding, they've been gravitationally bound to this place. All they know about is the earth, and all they understand is these things. See, and with this, when we think about these things, we know that we've left the gravitational forces of the earth. We've left it, the gravitational forces of the earth. See, and the old college schools and our fleshly zeal to want to be seen, to want to be something in the flesh, we left that. Some of you haven't, but that's because you're not sons of God. Some are babies. They're just kind of getting started. See, and then when it comes to the next stages of it, we're beginning to break forth, coming into that light of the revelational world. And then in this, when we get out there, we know where we're going. We got the mind of self-propelled as to the understanding from God Almighty. And we're not bothered, but the others that leave this gravitational foundation of natural things, when they get out there, they're lost. All of their mind is interwoven with the natural things of the earth. We have moved into another place. When these men get into space, and they've already broken into this out there, they are going to have a real problem. Last night at the end of the service, I had took my time. I had talked because I didn't want to interrupt my children. I didn't want to interrupt and hurt the lambs. And I wanted to get over a little message to them. But at the end of the service, the Lord let me know that He wanted me to plow some clods and break some fallow ground up, because He's tired of the foolishness of this thing of different people. All this stuff, like I said last night, taking the ladies and pushing those women down. When you run them through, pushing them down, treating them like a bunch of beasts, a bunch of common prostitutes. See, and just laughing over it. Like here the other night, some of the men come on my platform, and they got some little fella up here, and the first thing they did, they messed up my services. Not only that, but the same ones in Alabama, when I set up down there, if any of you are familiar with it, they've done the very same thing. I was fixing to call some up on my ramp to deal individually with them. And they messed it up and kept calling up and calling up. And finally, the little one, so innocent, he didn't know what was going on. And he finally come around to where I was. And he said, "Brother Pike, I don't have the Holy Ghost." They pushed him, shoved him, pushed him around, supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And he said, "I don't have the Holy Ghost." And he was real sad. I said, "Son, listen, you get the Holy Ghost by obeying God. The Bible said, they that obey God, I'll give them the Holy Ghost. You ain't going to get the Holy Ghost by somebody laying their hands on you." Somebody said, "Well, the Bible said lay hands on them, they'd receive the Holy Ghost." They that obey God will receive the Holy Ghost when you lay hands on them. Let's get the thing straight, fellas. Let's get it right. So then, I love you tonight. I want to help you tonight. I wouldn't do nothing to hurt you, but you need to listen at me. Listen at me. These that do these things, I've already talked to them for hours and hours, and they know what they're doing. See, they know what they're doing. Anyway, I feel you back in unity. I feel you back in unity again. Those things are serious charges, folks. I'm telling you. It's serious, and it's really serious that when the shepherd sees this thing and he tries to keep it away from you, and then you rise up out there, that's bad. That's bad. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, I've been preaching for years, and I know this, and I know that." You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. You ain't got no understanding at all. If you had any understanding, you'd take the hand of the shepherd and you'd recognize those spirits and you would do something about it. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord? The service is going a little bit different, but I do feel my people back in unity. Look what a great, wonderful thing we had tonight. Satan didn't like it. He didn't like it.
See, he didn't like it. Remember, the carnal mind is enmity with God. Don't ever be carnally minded. That's death. Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord. It's going a little bit different because of what happened. But let's just lift our hands and love Him. Can you give Him a wave offering while they sing? Can you really get in the Spirit? God is a Spirit. He inhabits the praise of His people. When you praise God, I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And when you praise God, the great loving Spirit comes in. He comes in because He doesn't have any other habitation. See, He's a Spirit. And when you start praising God, then you give Him a place. And He comes in. He wants to use you. He's no respecter person. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter your age. The thing is, God is God. He's everlasting strength. He's everlasting youth. He's everlasting riches. He's everlasting power. And folks, we're coming into that. See, we're coming in there. We're getting down to the place now to where they won't be having funerals. After a while, there won't be any funerals. Because you are already in heaven. You're going to discover that you're already in heaven. You're going to discover that that body's already been redeemed at Calvary. And you're going to discover that faith will do for you just like it did for Enoch. That Enoch wasn't under the law. It wasn't required of him, and he believed God and went home. And Paul brings it out that you're going to do the same thing. You're not under the law. The law's folded up and laid away. The curse and death and sin is by the law. You're not under the law. You're going to discover that you're not under the law. That that body's always been redeemed. Even from the foreknowledge of God, you've always been the elect of God. There's no sin against you. There's no charge against you. There's nothing against you. There's no weapon that's formed that can stand against you. You're God's people. You're God's people. You're God's people. You're already God's people. You're already God's people. Don't listen to a ministry that puts you out yonder. Something going to happen. Something going to happen. This thing's already happened. You're already God's people. You're already sons and daughters of God. You've already passed from death into life. You've already got the resurrection. Like I said last night, you already are the resurrection. That bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You already control heaven and earth. You already own everything in heaven and earth. I mean, you already own it. And God is wanting you to believe that. Because it's time to get out of this thing. It's time to get out of here. And folks, everything, the countdown, as we say, is right there. And everybody's got to get ready. You got to get ready now. You got to get in line. Hallelujah. How are you going to do it? By faith. By faith. He done it. Give Him glory. Don't try to give yourself glory of what you're going to do in your works. Give God glory. Give God glory. That's why He did it all. So you give Him glory. Give Him glory. You start giving yourself glory and figuring this thing out in your natural and who you are and how long you fasted. You'll be in the same trap the Jews were in. Give Him glory. Can you give Him glory? Do you believe what I'm saying tonight? If you believe this is the truth, then respond to it. Do what God tells you to do. You're already children of God. You're already invincible. You've already passed from death. You're all powerful in God, in Christ Jesus. Go into all the world. Tell the people about it. Go among the multitudes. Go wherever, in Africa, in India. Stand before the multitudes and say, today I declare unto you. I declare unto you to open the doors of the prisoners and to set at liberty them that are bruised in the acceptable year of God, that you're no longer a prisoner, that you're free from bondage, you're free from sickness, you're free from death, you're free from all these things. For Jesus destroyed the powers of the devil. The Bible said He was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. Do you believe He did it? Somebody says, if I can believe, He'll destroy my life. Let me tell you something. I don't care if you never believe nothing. He destroyed the works of the devil. If I never believe it or you never believed it, He's already done that. And that's why He's saying, you believe it. Take advantage of it. Enjoy the thing. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. He destroyed death too. Said, not only did I take away death, He said, but I destroyed him that hath power over death. The devil, you'll never even see death. You'll never see death. The devil don't have no power over you. Somebody would say, I wish I could believe that. Why don't you believe it? How many days do you have to fast to believe it? All you fast for is to kill out that old unbelieving mind of yours. That's all. Folks, why can't you believe the words of God? Why can't you believe the words of God? Why can't you be spiritual? Why can't you say, well, my God, is it like that? If it ain't, that preacher must be a lie, and I sure am not going to accept him as my shepherd. If he's lying, I don't want him.
And for God's sake, if he's not lying, then let me believe it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Let's give him a wave offering while we're serving the Lord. Don't you feel like Samson tonight? Glory to God. Let the lion roar. Are you afraid of the lion tonight? Are you afraid of the devil tonight when you're his master? Are you afraid of him tonight? One can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. You ladies right here, it's the same way. It's no male or female in God. Are you afraid of the devil tonight? Why are you afraid of him? Your sons of God, come on and praise God. Let's don't get into a ritualistic, a formality of make-believe. If you got God and you're spiritual, let that spirit go out tonight. And let's praise God. Stop being dead in the presence of God. God's not the God of the dead, but of the living. Hallelujah. I love you. Just because I don't holler at you don't mean that we're dead. I'm just trying to get over some teaching so that you can come alive. Don't you feel great tonight? Don't you feel great tonight? Don't you feel like the devil's on the run? Draw nigh to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's praise God tonight. Can you do that? Father's singing and praising the Lord. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Let me just say hallelujah with you. Hallelujah. 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 This is the victory that overcometh the world. Even your faith in God. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.